This message was recorded at Leeds Vineyard during a Sunday morning service. Please feel free to copy it or forward it if it's helpful. We pray that it may be God's word in season for you today.
Right, so this morning, our series for the last few weeks has been exploring Do What Jesus Does. And today we're going to be looking at when Jesus encounters something in the temple and a righteous indignation rises up within him, a holy discontent, which he then acts on straight away. Now, Bill Hybels has written a great book on this. If you'd like to explore the idea of holy discontent further, I'm merely going to be scratching the surface today. And Bill describes this response as a God-given righteous indignation, a positive outworking of a discontent. So a holy discontent is something which brings up strong negative but protective emotions, something which gets under your skin, gets you riled up, perhaps even angry. And there are all sorts of examples of what different people might say. Poverty, starvation, people trafficking, environmental damage, racism, sexism, neglect. I could go on and on. Sadly, there are so many things in our world which are just simply not okay. Things which arguably we should all feel angry about, upset about, things which break God's heart. Now, I'm going to show you a slide of a few people who I think we'd all agree had developed and acted on a holy discontent, some historical and some current. As a slight aside, both in this example and the next example, I don't know if all of the people I'm showing are followers of Jesus. However, I think we'd agree that they are all people who have had their hearts broken for things which are simply not okay, for things which break God's heart. Now, I think that Martin Luther King and Mother Teresa need no introduction here, but you might spot Krish Kandia, who came to speak to us, I think it was last year, who started Home for Good, trying to tackle fostering and adoption and link churches up to support there. And of course, Marcus Rashford, who's made the headlines many times this year, looking at holiday hunger. So a discontent, whether it's holy or otherwise, can eat away at us. It can make us bitter, resentful, and despair of what we see. Or there is another way, and that's what I'd like to talk to us about today. We can choose to trust God with our holy discontents. We can choose to work at identifying what God wants us to do in order to make our world a better place, more the way he intended it to be. Now, this will be different for each of us. And that is a challenge in and of itself. What is really important to me may be very different from what is really important to you. That doesn't make anything less important, but it does mean that we need to agree that we all have a part to play in this and that our diversity is just reflecting the diverse nature of our God. There is no shortage of things that we would love to see change in our world and that God would love to see us bring about change in. But before I go any further, this is a series about doing what Jesus does. So let's look at Jesus as an example and see what he does. So I'm going to read from John chapter 2. Jesus clears the temple courts. When it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple courts, he found people selling cattle, sheep and doves, and others sitting at tables exchanging money. So he made a whip out of cords and drove all from the temple courts, both sheep and cattle. He scattered the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. To those who sold doves, he said, "Get these out of here. Stop turning my father's house into a market." So let me pray before I go any further. Lord Jesus, thank you for coming and experiencing life on earth, that we might have an example to follow. Thank you for the Bible and the records of what happened, what others saw you do. Help us to learn some more of who you are and what you do from this story. Amen. Now, this story is recorded in all four of the Gospels, which is significant. because not all of the stories in the Bible were. Jesus goes into Jerusalem for Passover, and there is nothing at all unusual about this. This is what you'd have expected him to be doing. And he heads straight to the temple, again, as you'd expect. And yet what he encounters when he gets to the temple is so far from the scene he is expecting to see that he responds instantly, decisively, and puts things right. He doesn't mutter under his breath. He doesn't grumble to the disciples. Or thinking of a modern day equivalent, he doesn't write a stroppy social media post. No, Jesus acts on this holy discontent. Now, there are two elements to this. One is action, and the other is the timing. I've noticed that sometimes holy discontent's a slow release. For me, an example is single-use plastics. It slowly dawned on me that I could really do something about that personally at home. Others are a quick realisation. I'll never forget a situation in a different country where I walked into a room and saw a child cowering in fear of an adult who was supposed to be caring for them. There's no thinking time required in those situations. As the Son of God, Jesus' understanding of right and wrong is so much more than ours. Jesus' moral, ethical code is that of God's. There is no bias, no misinterpretation or deliberation about if something is or isn't okay. Jesus' divinity makes his moral compass far, far superior to ours. And this in turn means that when faced with a situation that just isn't as God had intended, Jesus doesn't need to check or pray about it or ask a wise friend for their counsel. There's no, hang on a minute, are people allowed to sell animals in temple courts? Jesus can respond instantly with action to put right what isn't right. And we read of him shouting out, "Stop turning my father's house into a market." Now, I believe, and the challenge to all of us is that the more we become like Jesus, the more the things which just aren't right jump out at us. As followers of Jesus, there are times, places and spaces where we will find ourselves getting to the point that's depicted so well by Popeye, if you remember the cartoon, saying, "That's all I can stand, I can't stand no more." And do look on YouTube if you've no idea what I'm talking about later on. The more we understand of God's heart, the more clearly we can see the brokenness of the world around us. From that, we can develop this holy discontent, frustration about that brokenness, which is aligned with God's heart and which can spur us on to take action to change the world. Now, I've got some more local examples for you, and a challenge, if you're quick with your keyboard, is to see in the comments how many of these we can name. Some of them are easier than others. And I expect that you and I could walk past some of these people in the park or at the shops without even realising who they were. Can I say we have a really rich heritage of this in our city through people of faith and not of faith? These are just a few examples to get you going. I could have listed many, many more, but let's see how many names you can recognise. I'll continue for now. Now, I don't want us to get stuck in our thinking and write ourselves off. And I certainly don't want us to realise what holy discontent God is stirring within us and then get stuck in a cycle of inaction and guilt where we're not doing anything. And I don't want us to set the bar too high for ourselves either. The reality is we're not all going to make headlines or be awarded an OBE or a Nobel Prize for what we do. For many of us, particularly at the moment, we don't feel that we have any capacity to change the world, and quite frankly, just looking after ourselves can feel like more than we're able to do. So let me reassure you that God knows. God knows it all. Your circumstances, your capacity, exactly what you need. But he also knows the injustices that break your heart, because he made you and he loves you, and he put those things in you. They are a reflection of his heart, which is also broken. There are times in our lives when we have more capacity, time and energy, and others when we have less. And I know that God can use a 30-second garbled prayer and tears shed as we read the headlines. He can use our Give Help hamper, and yes, that is a blatant plug, please do sign up. Or he can use a year given as a volunteer. And he, and only he, knows the true cost of each of those things. I wanted to encourage you this morning that I see this holy discontent bubbling up in people within our church community. And I know that for every story that I am aware of, there'll be many others whose stories I've not heard yet. These are ordinary people doing their best to live out their God-given holy discontent, to make our world a better place. Not because they're paid to, not for the attention, but simply because they can't help it. The phrase I got was sort of a not on our watch. We will not see this on our watch. Here's my final set of pictures for today. Perhaps you'll recognise someone from your small group, or who you've met in one of our Zoom calls, or someone you remember meeting in person. If it would help you, why not ask them what they're passionate about? Next time you see them, either on Zoom, in person, maybe they're the person sat next to you, I don't know. You might be surprised by the answers. So let me start to wrap up and then we'll pray. Taking positive action to change the world, to become more like how God intended it to be, probably won't make front page news or get you on the Queen's Honours list. It will undoubtedly cost you time, energy, money, tears and more, but it will bring you alive. As we grasp God's heart for his created world and the people in it, and put that love into action, we become more like him, more the people God intended us to be. We read in Ephesians 2, verse 10, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Let me read that again. "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." I want to just pause for a moment and give time for this to sink in. My sense is that there are people listening today for whom this is just a reminder of things which they know they have a part to play in. Perhaps things, forgotten dreams, forgotten vision, things that have been put to one side in the busyness of life. And I think that there are people who in this last week have read the news with tears rolling down their faces in response to what they've read. And I think there are people who resonate with that phrase, not on our watch. What has God been highlighting to you? What is just simply not okay, that you can't stand anymore, that you can't bear to see continuing in our communities and our neighbourhoods? Can I encourage you to be bold enough to pop that as a comment right now? If God is stirring something in you, you may well be in floods of tears. You may well be shaking. You may feel your heart racing in spite of being sat still. But if there is something going on, please do share that with us. Or if there's someone with you, maybe they can share it on your behalf. But let me pray and then I'll hand to Ian and Liz. So Lord Jesus, thank you that you show us how to develop a holy discontent and to act on it to change the world. Would you reveal to us the things in our world which break your heart? And would you show us what we can do, however big or small? Thank you that you can use all of those things. Would you give us boldness to be obedient to your call? And for each of us, would the world around it be a better place and better reflect your kingdom and your goodness as a result of our involvement? Amen.